Welcome to Worldview Finder. Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Worldview Finder. We look at all the current events of the world today, whether it's media, news, movies, games, songs, or celebrities. We dissect the worldview these sources have in our lives. Everything pushes a worldview, so join us as we each find our view on this week's Worldview Finder.
If we stick together, all of us, we will win. Hey, everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm Chuck Luke.
And I'm Adrian. Welcome to Worldview Finder, episode 113. Luke, last week I told everybody, because James and I, your brother, did a special episode about The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. You should go listen to that. It was great.
When did you do that?
And I said, we did it last week.
When?
I don't know.
Okay.
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday, huh?
And so I was like, hey, next week everybody's going to be back, and it's just you. So I don't know where Adrian is. She's like, I'm not going to be here. Chuck, he's being a good father. I put that in quotes. No, he went to his kid's basketball, soccer practice, something. So I don't know. So it's me and you this week.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Remember last time we did it?
That was great. People are still talking about that episode. They're like,
oh, yeah, where's Adrian? When's she coming back on?
Why is it just those two bozos? So, thanks for joining us. If you're on Facebook Live, you can leave us some comments and talk to us. So, hey, Bailey. Bailey's watching. Thanks, Bailey. So, you can leave us some comments on there. So, today we're going to talk about the movie It.
Yeah, which, by the way, if you weren't aware, that's the movie we quoted today, right?
That was the quote from the beginning, from It.
You did a feint there. I thought you were going to do a different quote that I actually thought was way better about being a kid.
Oh, yeah, but that quote was way too long.
So it was a much better quote.
We'll read it during the thing, but I like this one. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about what happened. There's a Florida foible this week because Florida is falling apart right now.
Not nearly so much as we thought it would.
Right. So do pray for them and send support because it's crazy down there for some of them. But I have some friends down there and some relatives and all that. So we're definitely praying for them. But we've got Florida foible from Florida. Because that's why we have it. I don't know.
Man, you can definitely tell there's some improvisational vibe going on.
So here's what we're going to talk about right now. Look, what have you been watching this week?
Man, tennis. I've been watching tennis. The U.S. Open was on, actually, for 2 weeks. So that's boring. I'm not going to talk about that. Worldview is just the win. I watched It. We're going to talk about that more, right?
Yeah.
I watched really stupid YouTube videos that I showed Chris one. It was good, wasn't it?
Yes. It was a guy playing a weird keyboard thing.
So if
singing.
You guys don't know, I like to just... I don't watch TV. I just watch dumb videos on YouTube. I am very easily amused. And so I can...
And I join you in that amusement because you show me stuff. I'm like, this is so stupid. But it makes me laugh. And like that guy eating the Doritos Los Taco for the first time. And just look up that. I don't know. What is it called? It's like...
Taco Review.
Taco Review. A guy reviews a Doritos Los Taco.
It's only 30 seconds long. It's hard to pin a worldview on some of these quick memes, but at the same time, I think they're really important because a lot of people are rushed, right? We don't have time to watch every TV episode of ever. I just found out Twin Peaks was being
remade.
Yeah, no, yesterday was episode 8.
Oh, well.
Or like the finale. I'm like, what? I gotta watch it now.
But it's on like Showtime or something weird, isn't it?
Oh, well, I gotta figure out how to watch it.
Legally, of course.
Yes, of course. I'm not in. That's why I said figure it out, because if it's played already, I don't know how to watch it.
Yeah.
But
Hulu?
Memes do have worldviews. It's just a lot harder to break it down.
Well, and I think there's also this aspect of us just being entertained by goofy things. And I'll tell you, like, that can lead to a rabbit hole of me just wasting tons of time in my life.
You watch like, one...
That's the worst thing about Facebook, because Facebook will have those little videos like, oh, the funniest game show answers of all time. And I'm like, ah, that's funny. And then like the next video pops up, like, watch this guy talk to a homeless man. I'm like, oh, what's this homeless man going to do? And then like that ends, and it's like, watch this kid get scared. I'm like, yeah.
And so, then you watch one weird video on YouTube, and then it's like all your suggestions are like, I don't want to watch any of those. That was a misclick.
That's why Facebook, because they give you like a variety. So some will be like these... like political things and like, oh, the government, and then something else would pop up and like, oh,
the corporations.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, cat videos, get scared by pickles or cucumbers. Have you seen those?
Oh,
they're great.
Oh, that does remind me of a comic. The guy, every other video he watched was a funny, like, cute video, but then the other videos he watched were like terrible tragedies, like 9/11 hit. Oh, 9/11 is the day we're recording.
Today, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the 16th anniversary. Yeah.
It happened. I don't remember when 9/11.
2001.
I don't know the year.
Well, yeah, where were you when 9/11 hit? Do you remember?
I was somewhere.
Like, how old were you?
I don't even know.
2001.
I don't know.
When were you born?
What year? I don't know.
You don't know what year you were born.
I can't do this. It's too much to remember.
Okay, what year were you born?
90.
90, so you were
three. between a year between 90 and 94.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. Do a moment of silence? I mean,
no, let's not worry about that.
But no, I
just pause the podcast right now.
Take a moment to. No, but I mean, it's one of those things that like shaped a lot of, like, that's a big part of our recent history of why a lot of stuff happened. And so
yeah.
I remember those people today that gave their lives, and people, I mean, there's still repercussions of that war going on and all that stuff as well. So we remember those people that.
Let's not get into this.
Right. I know, I'm just saying. I know this is more goofy, but don't say anything inappropriate. So
inappropriateness, no one's talking about Pearl Harbor Day.
I know, but
that was also a tragedy.
Yeah, but that wasn't very recent to.
See, it's the recentality.
I know. Yeah, so there's, because it's recent, and then all that. Okay.
I say we should stitch ourselves up and move on.
Here's what I watched this week. Ryan Hamilton, and it's called Happy Face. His name's Ryan Hamilton, Happy Face. It's on Netflix. It's a comedian, and I recommend this. This is, okay, I always am looking for good comedians, and Netflix has tons of comedians, but they're always, like, really profane or like just have tons of swearing or very sexual, and so I never find one that I'm like, oh, because usually I just like 10 minutes in or 5 minutes in, I'm like, this is not going to be funny.
That's not true.
And I turn it off. Several of them.
You watch Norm MacDonald's entire thing.
Well, that's different.
And he's like the worst.
I did watch that one. Don't watch that one. Thanks for calling me out on the
podcast. Well, I cannot let you lie to our audience.
No, I said sometimes. So, okay, so most of the time. All right, that one.
That was a clever.
That one was language. There's a lot of language now. I don't, like, I did watch that one. Now that you say that, I probably wouldn't go back and watch it again.
I don't watch any of them again.
Because I didn't know he was going to be, like, because I thought, I had heard that he had, like, kind of changed his life around. So
I told you that was completely
wrong. Well, I already watched it before you told me that. And then,
no, I told you. You mentioned that multiple times. I'm like, no.
So I had seen him in other stuff, and he makes me laugh, and so I was like, oh, this will be funny. But okay, forget that. Ryan Hamilton, he's a safe bet. He's clean. It's TV-14, but I don't think there's any cussing whatsoever in it, if I remember right. There's no sexual stuff. There's no, like, even double entendres or anything like that. He's just really funny. He makes fun of New Yorkers a whole lot, which was really funny.
There's definitely a lot of double entendres. You just didn't notice them.
That's
the whole point of a...
yeah. So it's Ryan Hamilton, Happy Face, very funny. You can watch it with your family, laugh together. I would say, like, some of the jokes are probably, like, geared a little bit towards the older... Cause he talks about dating and talks about... He did do a piece on, like, a guy smoking crack in the subway. That was pretty funny. Because he's like, I don't know. He's like, how do I know it's crack? He's like, well, it wasn't marijuana or cigarettes. So he's like, what else could it be? and so just like, he's just talked about these like experiences in New York. And I mean, some of the lines are like really funny. He's like, yeah, people from New York go to other cities and they're like, I'm the mayor because I'm from New York. And he just talks about like how full of themselves they are. It's great. He's very funny. Talks about hot air ballooning, all this stuff. So very funny. I recommend it. We don't like, a lot of times we don't recommend stuff on this show. I'm recommending Ryan Hamilton, Happy Face, Netflix. It's great fun. Good times. So, all right, Luke, both you and I saw this week. We're going to put four foibles at the end. We're going to start this.
Doing it. You mean it.
We saw it this weekend.
Yeah, we saw it this week.
So, all right, before we get into the movie, because this conversation came up about, and we'll talk about this later in like later episodes. We get closer to Halloween and horror movies and all that stuff
with more informed opinions.
Yes, than just ours, but like about okay, should Christians see horror movies? Should people that follow Jesus go to a movie that inherently is about evil and bad things and all this stuff? Which is a great question, and it's a great thing to discuss. And so we'll, like, you can sound off at our Facebook page about that, facebook.com/worldviewfinder. You can join us on there and, like, talk about it and say, hey, this is why people should or shouldn't go see those movies or that kind of thing. But a lot of times, like, we won't necessarily get into, like, if you should go see these movies. We want you to make those decisions on your own. And so, like, we'll talk about some of these movies because this one was number one at the box office this weekend by a lot. The box office has been down quite a bit these past few weeks because nothing's been out, and then this movie comes out.
That's because the fall schedule's coming up.
It got good reviews, and so it made $123 million this weekend.
That's almost as much as I make in an hour.
Yeah, so Luke went one time.
I was the only person who saw it.
In my time, yeah. So, all right, so Luke, first of all, what, like, so we're not, again, we just because we talk about these movies doesn't mean we recommend it or anything.
I highly don't recommend this movie. But
we're going to turn on the worldview machine.
For certain peoples.
Okay, oh, that's the part of the worldview machine.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Ting, ting, ting. Blah,
blah, blah. And it's on. Okay. Is that James? Tell James to get in here.
No, James is
okay. Away. So, what does this movie portray as the means to happiness?
All right. Friendship. Togetherness.
Yeah, I think that opening quote, if we stick together, all of us will win.
I mean, none of them are really... Each character has...
The part of the Losers Club.
Yeah, the Losers Club. Each character, except for one of them, has a moment where they show a point of, like, weakness when they're by themselves.
Yeah.
And it's always, they're always by themselves. Or they're, like, they have no friends around at all. And there's only one, the kid who's, like, with glasses.
Yeah.
He didn't have his moment, which I don't mind. He was annoying. But, yeah, they show them apart and how weak they are apart. And then near the end, it shows how they're no longer afraid when they're together.
Yeah.
So it's a great coming of age movie that I don't relate to.
They can overcome.
So yeah. I'm like, I don't want to meet people.
I don't want to be around anybody. Yeah, I'd say yeah, the same thing about like the means to happiness is friendship. Yeah, it's having people that you could do life with. Because the Losers Club, like, they welcome people in that don't have friends because they're like, hey, welcome to Losers Club, and this
population us.
Yeah, this girl says thanks, and he's like, I wouldn't thank us too much. Now you're part of the losers, and she's like, I don't mind it, or whatever. So, what gets in the way of their happiness?
Oh, this is the best part. You know, if you removed the clown from this movie, it wouldn't be a horror movie. It'd just be, you know,
about bullies.
Yeah, it'd just be a regular growing up movie, but they have a clown, Pennywise. Gets in the way of their happiness. And not just Pennywise, really. There's also...
An abusive father.
Abusive father. Two of them, actually. There's two abusive fathers.
Oh, yeah. There's a mom that, like, tells her kid that he's sick all the time.
Yeah.
Hypochondriac.
There's a family that...
Baron Munchausen disease is what the... Or Munchausen...
What?
It's Munchausen by proxy or something is where the mom... Like, puts these diseases on the kid.
Oh, yeah. Sounds great. I have no idea what...
I'm smart. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's a certain disease that I don't even know what I heard. No, and then there's, like, the main character, Billy. You might think, oh, well, Pennywise killed his brother. Spoiler. It's, like, in the first 10 minutes, so...
Yeah.
He doesn't have a problem, but no, he's, like, his parents just... They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with his suffering, his grief, the way they just, like, stop talking about it. Like, he's trying to find the body, and they don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
And so he has that going on. What were we talking about again?
About what gets in the way of happiness.
Yeah, what gets in the way. New kid, he's new, and school just ended. So when you go to a new school at the end of the year, who are you going to hang out with summer?
The library.
The library. Hey.
I hung out at the library even though I did have friends. Like, the library, I volunteered at the library as a middle school student.
I don't remember what I did in the summer.
That's how cool I was. So, Take that, America.
The Jewish boy, what gets in the way of his happiness is his not being able to live to the standards of his father, who's a rabbi. That was one of them.
Yeah, it's really like living up to what your parents expect of you, kind of.
Yeah.
So somebody weighed in and said, Stephanie said, my opinion is no, just generally because you could be spending that time praising God or doing stuff for God rather than watching that stuff. So, wow. But that would apply to any movie, really. But I agree with her point. Like, it's a good point.
That's not.
That's for later, but I wanted to respond to people as they weigh in on our conversation. Oh, yeah. So, all right. So, what gets in the way of the happiness? Yeah, other people, like their parents. A lot of it is their parents. Parents and bullies.
And then the black kid, Mike, what gets in the way of his happiness?
Is his uncle or something?
His uncle doesn't really get in the way. Because his uncle in this movie, they live like in a weird Twilight Zone world where this town is like the most dangerous town ever, if you look at the statistics. But everyone's just oblivious to it.
Right.
Except for like
the kids.
Mike's uncle, he knows, he's like, you really shouldn't go into town. We should stay on the outside of town. But he has to go to drop off meat because they're farmers.
Yeah.
And the kids understand, but when you grow up, you get glazed over.
So this next one's an interesting one. Do they portray good as good and evil as evil? So as far as like Pennywise the clown, yeah, he's evil and all
pretty
that.
Pretty much, they do portray evil as evil.
But I would say, like, the behavior of the kids, because a lot of, like, even though they're supposed to be the good characters or whatever, the good guys in the story, like they still sneak out on their parents or lie, do stuff like that. There is a scene where they're all in their underwear with a girl.
They're swimming. You've never swam?
I have, but, like, in swimsuits.
Oh, my swimsuit's my underwear.
So, I don't have a pool at my house like you do, Luke. So, but I feel like they, like the kids, and they kind of have like quite a few.
Well, here's the problem.
Bad language words.
Only one who does that, one of the character that I liked the least, who also got like one of the least love in the film was the funny guy who was always making jokes. But in school, you always have that kid who's just, like, making the worst inappropriate jokes, and nobody wants to be around him. And that's why he's in the Losers Club, because they're like, you make the worst jokes, oh my gosh, you're always cursing and stuff.
Yeah.
And so he's just rejected by everyone else, and like, well, we're not going to reject you, because you're just as lame as us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't like this guy. He is a loser. He makes terrible jokes. But I also felt like he was... he didn't get an individual scene where his fear was coming up. You don't know why he is like he is, because you don't know anything about his parents or anything. While everyone else, you get like some glimpse or some conversation. So he's the one who spurs most of the language.
Right.
He starts it and he spurs it on the other ones.
Right.
So I don't think it's a terrible thing, because it actually does show a real character that you would meet in school.
Right. And I agree with that, but I don't like it when they make kids swear. And I know kids do swear and all that stuff, but I don't like that.
The guy's not a kid, he's 29. He's just really small.
So
I don't know. I hated that character.
Okay, so
I never remembered him being that bad in the older one.
So what was your favorite scene and why?
There's a part where Pennywise is dancing, and they stabilize the camera on his face so that his face doesn't actually move. Even though it is moving, they stabilize it so the camera moves with his head, so it's always not moving.
Oh.
So everything around it's just when you stabilize things, it makes everything look really weird.
Yeah.
Because you're used to standing still, but imagine you're just moving with them as well. And I was just like, I don't know, it made me laugh, and it also is like, that's terrifying at the same time. I'm like, that is really stupid, but I would run away.
Yeah.
I would not be in the same room with that clown.
So I say my favorite scene, there was a part where, like, this girl's bathroom just, like, this, like, blood just flies all over the walls and stuff, like, just from the drain. It's just, like, but it's just, like, her imagination. Kind of, like, because the adults can't see it, but the kids can. And so she's like, I want to show you guys something. So they come into her her bathroom, and then they're like, what are we going to do? And this kid's like, we need to clean this up. And it was just kind of that moment for me of, like, they're going to stick together through, like, the craziness of life. Like, this isn't, like, because I would have seen that and be like, oh, this is disgusting, let's leave or whatever. But he's like, we've got to do this. Like, we've got to do this together. And they spent, like, 30 minutes of the movie. Yeah, it was a montage of them cleaning up this bathroom. But it was just, like, it just showed that they, like, cared and loved this person, this character, like nobody had before. And, I mean, it's just that friendship bond, but, like, it felt like more than just that. It was going above and beyond. And, like,
What about the part where they're like, we need to just not deal with this anymore. Let's ignore it. And he's like, but what happens if it's one of you who's the next victim? That, to me, was another scene that was really good. Because he's like, what then? Do we say, do we just live on? Do we just forget our friend? So he's like, we can't just stop here. Because the main character is Billy, for sure. And he's probably pretty cool. He's a pretty cool character.
Yeah.
He has his own faults, but he's pretty virtuous in the sense that, no, like, we gotta stop this. In the beginning of the movie, one of the characters mentioned that another person had died. And he's like, no, she's missing. And he cares about each missing person, even though he probably doesn't know him as much.
Right.
But he's always looking for the missing people, essentially.
But is he doing that because his brother went missing?
Well, yeah, maybe. We don't know. But at the same time, he was sick in the beginning. We can grasp prior character only from the beginning, where when he was sick, he made a toy for his brother to go play because he couldn't play with him.
Yeah.
So we can say that his character was probably caring prior to his brother's
death. Right. So the thing I didn't like about this movie, though, was since the main characters are that age, like, because I took a writing class in college, and, like, I wrote the story from, like, it was like a 8-year-old's perspective. Mm-hmm. And the teacher said, if you write it from that perspective, that means it's geared towards this age group. Mm-hmm. Because it's written from the perspective of an 8-year-old. Mm-hmm. So this movie was, what, they're middle school students? So 12, 13?
Yeah.
Probably? So when you do that, you put the movie at a level of, like, this is geared towards this age group. And that age group can't see that movie because it's rated R. Like, I mean, they can't go without their parents to that movie.
And that's why I'm like, take your parents, go see this movie. Unless
they sneak in. So that's why, like, that's what I don't like when these movies that are obviously...
whose perspective is it from?
From adult film.
Whose perspective adult is the movies. Movie you're watching it from? What adult movies? What are you talking...
Like not adult, but not like... What? Not Chris, that kind of adult movie. I mean, like, when an R-rated movie is geared towards adults, that audience, or it's supposed to be. So, what do you mean, from what perspective?
Who is this...
The main character.
Yeah. But... is it from his perspective? Because if it was from his perspective, then you would see things a little differently. It's not from his perspective. It's from a third-party perspective. Because you see multiple scenes.
Yeah, but all the main characters... like, the main character is who you follow. Uh-huh. And what I'm saying is, like, when the main character is a certain age, that's, like, kind of the... what the audience is geared towards.
Oh, I have to disagree. So, who told you this?
I probably misinterpreted what it was.
Well, this person... This professor needs to get a new degree, because is ludicrous.
But if you have it at that age level...
Yeah.
Right? So maybe it was a first-person perspective. I'm trying to remember.
If it's from a first-person perspective, that would be more understandable, because...
I don't remember. This was a long time ago.
If it's from a third-person perspective, there's so many different... This is boring conversation.
Yeah, but no, but I feel like this movie is kind of geared towards that age group, right? Because there are a lot of middle school students... that want to see this movie. They're like, oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of middle school students wanted to see Deadpool as well.
Yeah, because it's a comic book movie. And they're, like, grown up with Deadpool. And they're like, oh, this is funny.
But it's not geared towards them. It's just a funny... it's geared towards adults. That's why it's rated R.
Just like that sausage cartoon or whatever it was with Seth Rogen and all, like, about the food.
I mean...
all right. So...
that's why I think rated R movies, to say, oh, it's geared towards kids, I'm like... no, I mean, that's why they're rated R. If they're geared toward kids, they'd be like the Avengers. They would push for that PG-13, because Avengers are like, we want to the kids. We want the kids.
Yeah, to come see.
People who push for rated R was like, no, we don't want the kids.
Yeah.
We want the adults. We want to make a movie for the adults. Like, Logan, for instance. Like, we don't want the kids.
Yeah.
We want the adults. So that's sort of, I think that's a difficult thing to talk about. A middle schooler wanting to see a rated R movie is not anything new.
Oh, yeah.
Because true. You always want to see something that you're not supposed to. And you always want to see something, you always want to feel more adult-like. That's one of the lies. Kids, be kids for as long as you can. Being an adult's the biggest lie you've ever...
All right, so what's the worldview?
I think we hit on that, on friendship.
Yeah, just the life is better with community. You can overcome stuff easier overcome incredible odds when you're doing it with people that love you.
And I mean, you also have to go through the stages of grief. That was another worldview, is that you have to accept some things as a reality. Like, near the end, that was such a great scene. Spoiler alert. Oh, can I mention this?
Yeah.
Where Billy...
Okay, spoiler alert for it. Yeah, go for it.
Billy, the main character, is like, he doesn't want to admit that his brother's dead. And he sees his brother and the thing, and he's like talking to him, and it's like he's about to hug him, and then he shoots him in the head with like a spike gun. He's like, because you're not Billy. And that's the moment of acceptance of what reality is.
And I thought it was. I was like, wow.
I mean, for a second, it'd be a great, excellent had he just not transformed into it or Pennywise. I'd be like, oh my gosh. What a great curveball!
So, this is from Plugged In, does the Focus on the Family, and they kind of look at kind of the worldview of stuff. But he said, the author of this article said, I recently talked with Gary Dauberman, who wrote the screenplay for It, and about those themes of unimaginable and spiritual evil. He explained why he has a special affinity for writing supernatural horror stories. I think that has to do with me really being a believer that there's something that's greater than all of us, and that death is not an end, he told me. So writing and researching these stories kind of reaffirms that for me, in a way, even if there's a demonic presence, I'm always going, if there's a demonic presence, that means that somewhere out there, there's good. And a lot of times in these movies, the good comes from within. And so he, like, the writer of the screenplay realizes, like, there's something more than just this life, and so there is like some supernatural elements to it, but at the same time, I don't know, just in the end, I'm like, friendship.
You have to vocalize what you're doing.
I know, sorry. I'm trying
you can't
to
just do
put into words
hand motions and shrugs and be like, that's the worst podcast material ever. You're
all
like,
right, so with what's the worldview? Yeah, it's friendship and all that stuff. But like, do we have to slog through like all the swearing and? I feel like it wasn't like very graphic as far as like a horror movie goes.
It's a horror movie.
As far as like blood gore stuff, there wasn't like a lot of like that where the walls got blood from the drain, but it wasn't like somebody cut themselves and was bleeding everywhere. But there's some scary moments, but...
That is what one person mentioned. They're like, why do we have to have Pennywise? I was reading some reviews. They're like, Pennywise just sort of gets in the way of something that could be better. And I'm like, no, you're missing the whole thing. You're missing the whole Stephen King. This is a Stephen King novel.
Yeah.
Stephen King doesn't write just... what's it called?
Coming of age stories.
There's got to be something else. There's got to be some supernatural thing in which he, like, near the end, he tends to ruins all his novels. Like, I think Stephen King's overrated because he puts too much into it. I'm like, what? Near the end of the book, I'm just like, you just went too far off the spectrum.
Yeah.
It's cool to be like, oh, and now there's, like, this killer clown that they have to deal with. It's kind of a cool concept.
Yeah.
Because it's not just a coming-of-age movie. It's a coming-of-age movie in an incredibly dangerous situation in which they overcome it.
So, to me,
it's the Pennywise the Clown actually makes the movie unique. If Pennywise wasn't in it, I probably wouldn't have watched the movie. I probably wouldn't have liked it. If the main antagonist was...
Well, because he plays off their fears, right? And so as they're like, they're experiencing these fears that every adolescent deals with, but it's just like magnified because
he makes it
kill
real.
Them. Yeah.
Is this real enough for you, Billy?
Is this real enough for your belly. So what are some discussion points to help engage people in a worldview conversation? Because this is one of those movies that people are going to be talking about. So whether you see it or not, we want you to be able to engage and have conversations with them. So I think, yeah. I mean, I think what that quote we read earlier, like that guy says, if there's like an otherworldly evil, then that means there's an otherworldly good. And so how do you like tap into that? Like how can you like bring up that in the conversation of like, okay, so there's an ultimate evil, then what's the ultimate good?
Man, the book brings that up, and it's
I've never read stupid. The book.
Look, Stephen King, I'm telling you, he goes off the rails near the end. Don't write 1,200-page novels. Just write an 800-page novel and cut out the garbage that you put in the end.
So, okay. But I think, like, I mean, the community, like, involving, like, how do we get involved in community, especially for followers of Jesus? Like, hey, like, God created us to be in community. The reason he created Eve was because he looked at Adam and was like, hey, he doesn't have a suitable partner.
You can bring it into how do you deal with your traumatizations, because it seemed like everyone was trying to deal with the trauma. That was one thing. So, like, the first thing we talked about when we walked out of the movie, we're talking about the traumas. We're like, oh, my brother was Jonathan. He was like, what about the painting one? That seemed to be really weird. I was like, well, the painting one isn't the trauma itself. It's the fact that he's constantly disapproving of, he doesn't get the approval of his father, the Jewish boy, and he goes in there, and every time it's that painting, and it's also off kilter, and it's just horrible painting. And so it's just, when you see it so many times, it just... it's unsettling.
Yeah.
And so he puts the fear of disapproval onto that painting because he knows he's going to see it. So as I was like talking about each one, and it's just the movie just spurred a lot of conversation because it wasn't like there's multiple types of horror movies. I don't know if we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah, we'll later, not today. But I do want to, we'll post a link to the Plugged In article just so you can read it. Because a lot of times there's movies that I know students are going to be talking about, or other my friends are going to be talking about, and the content stuff, I'm like, I'm not going to see that movie. And so Plugged In is a good way to kind of read that, and they do more than just give a content review, but they'll kind of talk about the worldview and some of the themes in it, so you can have an intelligent conversation without having to see it, because I don't agree that, like, oh, just because everybody's watching it, then we should go watch it so we can have an intelligent conversation. I believe there's other ways to do that as well, and so...
I did mention to you the other day that it was one of the first movies in a while that I wanted to go see again. And the reason why is it wasn't pure entertainment. Like, I saw The Avengers once. I was like, that was a great movie, but I don't want to see it again because it's just repeats.
Yeah.
The reason why I wanted to see it again is because I wanted to notice the subtleties of some of the interactions between the characters. So this is one of the movies where we were going to talk about, should we see horror movies for entertainment, where I watched it, and it was less entertaining. It was less about entertainment and more about how the writer is putting these characters in this scenario and how you figure them out. To me, it was more of a college paper, like a college analysis of something, than entertainment. So I was like, so a part of me wants to say, hey, if you're old enough and you have a maturity and you can go see this movie and you're not someone who's easily swayed, maybe this movie's not terrible. It's definitely not Saw.
Yeah.
Saw is a waste of time. Okay.
And then make another one of those.
Yeah. Saw's a waste of time. You had potential in the first Saw, but then
we'll get into those stuff later, but yeah. But find a way to be able to have an intelligent conversation because a lot of people are seeing this movie.
The themes in this movie are important. I guess the real question is, could they make a movie that portrayed the themes without
the language,
without the content being as rated R?
I think so.
I mean, they did. Stand By Me as a movie.
I didn't see that one.
I think it's PG-13.
Is it about a killer clown?
No.
Oh.
But I think the killer clown's kind of... the cool part. That's what makes it entertaining to me as well. I do not want to watch Breakfast Club, Stand By Me, all those that are similar to this.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, oh, it's so boring. It's so, oh, there's a killer clown. It's cool. I want to see what happens.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Oh, that's a great cover.
Oh, no. I watched that once. I'm just like,
what? That movie's so good.
It's so all right. Boring.
Let's power off the machine.
I need...
We'll talk. Okay.
I just.
All right. Let's get into. Goes the corn. Oh. We don't do that anymore. Okay. All right. This one I'm excited about because here's the title.
Comes from you live from Florida.
Oh, no, don't start again. Okay. Yep. Expecting couple scrambles to leave when Irma's track changes.
You have to wonder.
But quit coming on. Okay.
You have to wonder, huh?
Yeah, I'm on this article, and this video keeps playing on the article. Okay, so this is in St. Petersburg, Florida. Riding out a hurricane is difficult and dangerous for anyone, but for expectant mothers, it can be much more nerve-wracking. But Chelsea Haller and her husband Dave Haller had a plan. Neither the couple's home in the Crescent Heights neighborhood of St. Petersburg nor the hospital was an evacuation zone. So they had to decide, do we leave our home and go somewhere else? But she's, like, expected. She's due this Saturday coming up. But here's why I picked this article. Because Dave and Chelsea Haller, I did their wedding a few years ago in 2015. I performed their wedding. Dave Haller's my roommate from college. And there's this article on WBAL-TV about them. And there's a great picture of her with her pregnant belly sticking out next to their boarded-up windows that says Hurricane Hal versus Hurricane Irma. And so, but yeah, so the article, so there's this is a great line. From Dave Haller. I think part of it involved, like, they're talking about, like, what to do in case of an emergency, and they're looking at home births, and he said, I think part of it involved tying off the umbilical cord with dental floss. It was a pretty interesting read, Dave Haller said. So, he's like, I couldn't imagine this, right? Because my wife is very pregnant, about to have a kid, and, like, if we didn't, like, because the hospital, we know where we're going, we know how to get there, we know all this stuff, and if all that changed, and, like, oh, there's a storm coming, you might have to do an at-home birth. Dude, I would flip out. And so,
do you have needles?
So, no, I have nothing. So, I have,
do you know how to suture in case anything happens?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we got a bathtub and water, and it's not a clean, like, I have to clean the bathtub. So, but yeah, so they ended up going across state to her parents' house. Still in Florida, but they're okay. They're heading back home now. But I like that article because it's about my friend. And it was this crazy situation in Florida. We're like, we're about to have a baby, and we might have to stay at home and deliver this baby at home, which would be...
Wow, that was such a great one.
According to Jim Gaffigan, he's like, oh, yeah, like, we do all our births at home, because he's like, I don't go to the hospital, and my wife puts on a gown, and somebody died in it the day before. And like, it was pretty funny. But this wasn't the best article, but I was excited, because it's my friend Dave and his wife, Chelsea. Which my kids call them Chocolate Dave and Chocolate Chelsea. For no reason. Because one day, when Quincy was little, we were discussing with Dave, like, hey, this is our friend Dave. She's like, uncle? Cousin? Like, no. What do you want to call him? She's like, Chocolate Dave. So we call him Chocolate Dave. And it's great. And it stuck. And then when we got married, it became Chocolate Chelsea. So don't shake your head at me.
I'm not shaking your head at you. I'm shaking your head at your kids.
My kids are great.
I'm not saying your kids aren't great. I'm saying kids are dumb.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I've been surrounded by enough kids to know they lack intelligence.
So, all right, Luke.
What?
What are you looking forward to?
Thor Ragnarok.
It's not coming out until November. Wasn't it supposed to come out this month?
No.
I thought it was supposed to come out in September.
It's always been November.
Oh, okay.
The problem is, it was the movie I was looking forward to, and now there's like this big, long stretch of just... unexcitedness. I guess Twin Peaks, because I just found out that it's going on, and I watched the original. And the original Twin Peaks was pretty good.
I've never watched it. It's on Netflix. I want to see it, but I've never.
It's a show, all right. Every character seems to have something shady going on. No character seems to be normal. That's what I can tell you. Except for maybe the main character, but he's weird to begin with. But he's like the most normal character in the show.
In the movie?
Show.
Show. Whatever.
It's a show.
It's a show.
It's a show. Twin Peaks, yeah.
I'm looking forward to playing Destiny 2.
Didn't it already come out?
It came out last week. I turned in some games, so I can buy it now, and I'm going to get it probably this week. And but
Destiny 2 is a horror game, I thought.
Destiny 2 is not a horror game.
Man, I've been playing Absolver. Real quick, that's something I've been doing. Absolver. Arts.
You can recommend that game, right?
The problem is, I'm not going to recommend the game as is, because it's not a complete game. I don't think the $30 price tag warrants what you get.
Oh.
But they're bringing out some free DLC to pad it, to make it more appealing. And they'll probably do that. three or four times.
It's just a fighting game, right? But it's not bloody or...
It's, yeah, it's a fighting game, doesn't have blood. It's a martial arts game.
Yeah, I played a little bit of it. It was fun. It's kind of tough. Like, you have to block and...
I don't know how many people have heard of Dark Souls, but it takes some of the best elements of Dark Souls, and it throws away some of the worst elements of Dark Souls. So it's like, hey, we'll take the good ideas, and we'll make our own product, because it's definitely, like, the game itself, you're like, ah, this doesn't remind me of Dark Souls. But then when you look at some of the underlying elements, like base elements, you're like, oh, that's something someone else did. Well, I mean, Dark Souls is not the first, but then the most prominent.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a fun game.
Keep, if you like playing video games and you like fighting games, because it's a martial arts game, oh, all the moves flow. That's what's the coolest thing. It's like, I feel like I'm doing so many cool things by pressing one button. I'm like, I wish I could do these things.
Yeah.
It's a very choreographed fighting.
It's like pretty almost.
Yeah,
because it's like an art.
It's not like MMA where they just like
punch
go great. Like they take the most effectiveness. This actually has like the art of martial arts.
They put the art in martial arts.
Yeah,
good one.
So if you like, look it up. Keep your eye, keep it on your radar. I mean,
it's on PS4 and
PC.
It's
on PS4 and PC, that's it.
It's not on Xbox?
No.
Oh.
They don't have a deal yet.
Because they're terrible. Just kidding. All right.
It's an indie game, that's why PS4 snatched that up.
All right, the other thing I'm looking forward to is watching more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We just finished season 1.
I thought you said that was bad.
No, it's great.
Oh.
We just finished season 1.
Who said that was bad?
Nobody. Adrian likes it, so she said I should watch
it.
I
think Chuck said it was bad.
Chuck doesn't know. He doesn't watch stuff.
Yeah, he does. Watches soccer, basketball, football.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. Hey, thanks for joining us. Is there anything else?
See you next week.
I feel like we're missing something. But
We're missing two of our casts.
Two of our co-hosts, punks. All right.
Podcasts. I've been listening to podcasts, too.
What did you listen to?
I'm looking forward to a podcast that's supposed to be coming out in the next couple weeks called the... what it's called. Oh, it's just blank, but it's from the people who made Radiolab. It's like a subgroup, and it's all about the Supreme Court. And they just talk about Supreme Court cases.
Oh,
and I love Supreme Court cases, because they're like, they talk about the research, like what, not research, they talk about the background of the court case. Because we always hear about, like, some Supreme Court case, and we're like, oh, what's that about? And you hear, like, a 20-second thing, and who won. But these, like, they take the interesting ones, like the really interesting ones. Like, there was one where one of the Supreme Court justices almost, like, he had a mental breakdown during hearing of it, because he couldn't decide which way he was going to go. And, like, that case got, like, pushed back further and further until he was going to have his verdict. And it was just like, what? You never think of a Supreme Court justice having a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
But this guy, they're like, they talk about why and who, why he would do such a thing, and, like, how this case affected him, like, on his sense of who he was. I gotta figure out what it's called. But
it's not out yet.
There's season 1 out, and season 2 is coming out like this month, I believe.
Okay.
It's from Radiolab, which, by the way, is interesting podcast alone.
It is. I listened to a Breath of the Wild podcast. It was 15 minutes, and there's this guy who read an essay about the Breath of the Wild, and it summed up greatly what I appreciated about it. So we'll put some links in our, so you can find us on, as we said earlier, facebook.com/worldviewfinder.
Okay.
And if you go there, then you can find the show. We'll put the recording up, the live, we're recording this live on Facebook, so we'll put that up there. We'll also put up some of the links to the some of the show notes we talked about, some of the stuff we talked about. So yeah, hey, thanks for listening. This has been Worldview Finder episode 113. I'm Chris.
Chuck Luke.
And we will see you next time. Magic.
Thanks for joining us on Worldview Finder as we dove into some awesome topics. Just because we talk about a specific source or worldview does not mean we endorse them or the product. So use discernment about what you take in. Have an awesome week and see you next time.
Welcome to Worldview Finder.